Chaitanya Manovitam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Padam Ayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sarivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrindana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhana Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Jurvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patidanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranita Nanda Shedvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Further Inquiries by Vidura, Text Number 11. Yata Jale Chandramasa
Chandramasa
Kampa
Kampa
Hari
Hari
Tat
Tat
Krita
Krita
Guna
Guna
Rishyate
Rishyate
Asan
Asan
Api
Api
Rashtu
Rashtu
Atmana
Atmana
Anatmanaha
Anatmana
Guna
Guna
Yata Jale Chandramasa Kampadistakrito Guna
Kampadistakrito Guna
Rishyate Sanapi Drashtur
Rishyate Sanapi Drashtur
Atmanam Atmano Guna
Atmanam Atmano Guna
Yata Jale Chandramasa
Kampadistakrito Chandramasa
Kampadistakrito
Guna Kampadistakrito
Guna Rishyate Sanapi Drashtur
Rishyate Sanapi Drashtur
Atmanam Atmano Guna
Atmanam Atmano Guna
Yata As Jale
In the water
Chandramasa
Of the moon
Kampa,
Kampa,
Adi,
Adi,
quivering, etc.
Tatvita,
done by the water.
Guna,
quality. Drishyate, it is so seen.
Asan,
Api,
without existence.
Drashtu,
of
the seer,
Atmanaha,
of the self,
Anatmanaha,
of other than the self,
Guna,
quality. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the moon reflected on water appears to the seer to tremble, due to being associated with the quality of the water, so the self, associated with matter, appears to be qualified as matter. Purport. The Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, is compared to the moon in the sky. And the living entities are compared to the reflection of the moon on water. The moon in the sky is fixed and does not appear to quiver, like the moon on the water. Actually, like the original moon in the sky, the moon reflected on the water should also not quiver. But because of being associated with water, the reflection appears to be quivering. Although in actual fact, the moon is fixed. The water moves, but the moon does not move. Similarly, the living entities appear to be tainted by material qualities like illusion, lamentation, and miseries. Although in the pure soul, such qualities are completely absent. The word pratiyate, which means apparently and not actually, like the experience of having one's head cut off in a dream, is significant here. The reflection of the moon on the water is the separated rays of the moon and not the actual moon. The separated parts and parcels of the Lord, entangled in the water of material existence, have the quivering quality, whereas the Lord is like the actual moon in the sky, which is not at all in touch with water. The light of the sun and moon reflected on matter makes the matter bright and praiseworthy. The living symptoms are compared to the light of the sun and the moon, illuminating material manifestations like trees and mountains. The reflection of the sun or moon is accepted as the real sun or moon by less intelligent men, and the pure monistic philosophy develops from these ideas. In fact, the light of the sun and the moon are actually different from the sun and the moon themselves, although they are always connected. The light of the moon spreads throughout the sky. It appears to be impersonal, but the moon planet, as it is personal, and the living entities on the moon planet are also personal. And the rays of the moon, the different material entities, appears to be comparatively more or less important. The light of the moon on the Taj Mahal appears to be more beautiful than the same light in the wilderness. Although the light of the moon is the same everywhere, due to being differently appreciated, it appears different. Similarly, the light of the Lord is equally distributed everywhere, but due to being differently received, it appears to be different. One should not therefore accept the reflection of the moon on the water as actual and misunderstand the whole situation through monistic philosophy. The quivering quality of the moon is also variable. When the water is standing still, there is no quivering. A more subtle conditioned soul quivers less, but due to material connection, the quivering quality is more or less present everywhere. Itagale chandramasa kampadi stakvito guna drishyate sanapi drashur atmano natmano guna. As the moon reflected on water appears to the seer to tremble due to being associated with the quality of the water, so the self associated with matter appears to be qualified as matter. Maho Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swainta Namane Namaste Sarasukunde Ve Gauravani Vicharne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharna. Vidura is talking with Maitreya, and here's some information about our actual position, that we're not connected with the modes of material nature in the way we generally think we are. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manite tatvavit pashan shrivan srishan jidran ashnanga chan supan svasan pralapan vishijan drinan dumishan nimishan api indriyan yarte shu vartanta iti dharyan. That a person who is in pure consciousness, a self-realized person, though he's engaged in different kinds of activity, he knows within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while seeing and hearing and smelling and breathing, smelling and touching and smelling, while eating, ashnanga chan, and going and moving about, svapan, and dreaming and breathing, he knows within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while speaking and evacuating and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. This is difficult to realize because we're absorbed in the three modes of material nature. And the three modes of material nature means that we like to think ourselves to be the doer. We like to think ourselves to be the actors in the material world. Otherwise, how can it be an illusion of the material existence? For instance, a person watching a movie, the general idea of the movie is that there's one character, at least, that everyone identifies, or people who identify with, they call it the hero. Of course, nowadays it could be the villain. In any case, there's one person one is supposed to identify with, and one is supposed to become so absorbed in the identification that one forgets that one has any other identification other than the person in the movie. And when the hero becomes victorious, one rejoices. When the hero becomes defeated, one laments. In this way, one is absorbed in such an experience. Similarly, in the material world, all of us are now in some particular body which has nothing really to do with our real self. But somehow or another, we're trying to enjoy the particular experience. And because we're trying to enjoy this particular identity, watching the movie that's going on, the drama, in which we are the central actor, and in the material world, there's, you know, one is thinking, I'm the master of my home, I'm the master of my family, my children, I'm the master of my bank account, I can do whatever I want here, everyone is appreciating me when I walk down the street. And if they're not, then, you know, I'll color my hair purple and orange so everyone will notice and appreciate me. And that way I'll derive great satisfaction that I'm the center of the drama. But it's all imagination because the soul is simply going through one body after another while experiencing so many dramas that are going on but not really being ever part of the drama. Anadi bam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyayam sharira stopikondeya na karoti nanalipyate. That those who have the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is guna anadi bam nirgunadvat. He doesn't have any real material qualities. Paramatmayam avyayam, and he's eternal. Sharira stopikondeya. Although he's in the material body, he's neither doing anything, nor is he entangled. Some people may become very disturbed if they hear that they're not doing anything. Then they'll think, if I'm not doing anything, then I'm wasting my time here. Well, that's right. That's the right conclusion. We're just wasting our time here. And we're not actually entangled. And then Arjuna asks Krishna, what do you mean that we're not entangled? Can you give me an example that explains how we're not entangled? So then Krishna says, Yata sarvagatam sokshma akasha no palipite sarvatavastito dehe katamano palipite. As the sky pervades everything, although it's not actually mixing with anything, so the soul within the body is spreading his consciousness everywhere, although he doesn't actually mix with the body. Krishna explains in another part of the Bhagavad, in the same part of the Bhagavad Gita actually, Prakatim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanari Bhavati Vikarams Nachukams Chaiva Vidiprakati Sambhava Vidiprakati Sambhava. That the material nature, the living entity and both material nature are said to be beginningless. And then he says, Karya Karana Kartride Hetu Prakati Uchite Purusha Sukadukanam Bhaktrive Hetur Uchite. That the material nature is said to be the cause of all the different changes of this material world, whereas the living entity is the cause of his various happinesses and distresses. In other words, material nature is itself changing, not the soul. But because the soul has the capacity to desire, therefore he's desiring, and by his desire, he winds up in different species of life. And some of those species of life, he's so-called enjoying, and other species of life, he's so-called suffering. Although it's ultimately all suffering, but it appears sometimes to be enjoyment and sometimes suffering. In other words, the living entity is simply sitting here, the living entity. We ourselves, we're the living entity that's being talked about. That we're sitting in this body, observing it with our consciousness, through our consciousness. We're looking out through these eyes, but actually it's the spiritual eyes that we have that are seeing. We're hearing with these ears, but these ears are just like filters. So we're hearing through the filter of the material ears, the material sense of touch, and it's all centered around the mind. And the mind is covered too by so many different ideas that are coming through the perverted intelligence. And therefore we're experiencing the material world in a kind of perverted way. Instead of actually perceiving what's actually going on here, we're seeing it according to our particular consciousness that's being, which is filtered through the contaminated mind senses and intelligence. The example is used just like if our glasses don't have any coloring on them, then we can see clearly. But if we color the glasses yellow or green, then the whole world appears to be yellow or green. I think when Devotee was saying yesterday that when he was going on Sankirtan, that was Paravida, he was saying that when he was going on Sankirtan with one Mataji, she was saying the whole world is green. Well, she's probably not right. The whole world is not green, it's orange. Or someone else may think it's purple or whatever else their particular filter is. But everyone is seeing through their particular filter, but what's actually taking place here, they don't see. So what's actually taking place here, Krishna says, dhiryas tatra namuyati. The one who's dhira, he understands that the body is changing, yes, but the self within the body is the same. But somehow or another, the living entities have developed a spirit of competition here, who will get the best prison cell. In other words, the living entity is imagining that he's making progress. Or the living entity is imagining that he's falling behind everyone else. And therefore he desires, I gotta get it together and make some progress. So because of the imagination, the soul increases his desire to make so-called make progress in the way everyone else is making progress. And therefore Krishna simply, because of that strong desire, gives him the facility to so-called make progress in different ways. And the leaders of society are more or less telling everyone what progress is. That's called propaganda. In modern society, progress means chintyam aparayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama pavoga paranam etavam iti nischitya ashapashusuparabhara kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bogarta anyaye narta sanchaya. They believe to gratify the senses until the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore there can be no measurement to their anxiety. So who can deny it that that's the present objective of human society? What are they selling in the shop? They're not usually selling japa beads and prayer books and things like that, with the objective being becoming absorbed in consciousness of God. No, they're talking more about dogs than God. If you talk about God, people will think you're a fanatic. And if you talk about a dog, they'll think, oh, you're a very loving person. You're a nice person. You love dogs. So this is modern society, and what is the result? Their anxiety has no limit to it. It is not that we can do whatever we want here and we get the same result. No, there are certain activities which by doing them increases our anxiety born out of the mode of passion, and when it gets very intense anxiety, then it turns into the mode of ignorance, and we're not even aware of anxiety anymore because we're not even aware. We're so covered by material desire that we can't even imagine what's going on. We can't even perceive what's going on, hardly. So modern society people are very proud that they're so-called making progress. They make progress according to their gross national product. How many nonsense things they can create that have no meaning for the real self. How much they become covered over, they're very proud. We're twice as much covered over as any other country in the world. The Sukhapura and myself were in Serbia, and one thing you can notice is that the fruit there actually has some taste to it because they're not modern yet. They haven't progressed enough to cover over the taste of the fruit or the vegetables. They haven't learned the art of putting on so many chemicals that you don't. It looks like fruit, it has the same color, it has more or less the same shape, but it doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like the chemicals. But they think, oh, they're backwards, and all the people are depressed there, saying we're backwards. All we have is nice food to eat. They haven't contaminated the water yet. The air is not polluted like in a normal country. You can actually go out in the forest, and you know things aren't contaminated. But they're making progress. Because they believe that if they destroy the environment, they destroy the crops, they pollute the water, then everything will be much better. They'll feel like they're much more of a lord of the material nature, that they're actually controlling the material nature now, whatever will be left of it. So this may sound sarcastic, and it may sound, but actually, the fact is, that it is all due to false knowledge, lack of God consciousness ultimately. And under the spell of delusion, due to lack of God consciousness, people do all kinds of crazy things, and it becomes normal after a while. That becomes the standard. If everyone does the same crazy thing, then it's a fad. And if they do it long enough, it becomes a religion. And if they do it long enough and you get enough crazy people to do the same crazy thing, then it becomes the only way to do things. And everyone else is devious. As I mentioned before many times, but I'll mention it again, just like during the Mardi Gras in America when everyone was 2 million people are committing so many sinful activities, so the devotees went out and chanted Hare Krishna and Hare Nam, and were arrested for disturbing the peace. So this is certainly religion in the mode of ignorance, or knowledge in the mode of ignorance. But that is because the soul is uncovered and is identifying itself with whatever particular body it has. And because of lack of persons, authorities, giving higher understanding, therefore people are lost in this drama of material existence. Therefore, when Prabhupada explained to Professor Katosky that your body is changing, but the self within the body is always the same, Professor Katosky could not understand. Although he was a big professor at a big university in Moscow, he could not understand that his body was changing, but he himself, who was aware of the body, was not changing, which means he had zero intelligence. In spite of the fact of his degrees, his prestige, his position, his honor, he had no intelligence whatsoever. He had the same intelligence as the dog that was walking outside. Prabhupada could have well been preaching to the dog outside and gotten the same effect as preaching to Professor Katosky. The only difference is that Probably Professor Kudal would have a better chance to understand the philosophy. Because Professor Kutowski was hearing from the wrong people. He had studied very carefully. Undoubtedly, at one time he had some intelligence, or he still had a type of intelligence. But because he had heard from the wrong persons and became brainwashed, his brain was washed away. Therefore, he cannot no longer understand such a simple, basic principles. And many, many persons, authorities, probably preach to the same thing, and they appear to be very respectable gentlemen, but they lost all of their intelligence. Maya, Paritya, Jnana. Maya had taken it all away. One person from the United Nations probably was preaching to, tried to explain to him that you're not your body, that you're a spiritual soul. He could not understand. Then Prabhupada tried to explain to him that there's a need in society to have a first-class person or first-class people who could understand what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. He could not understand that. And then Prabhupada said, well, you should take some prasadam. He could barely understand that. So the fact is that the simple basic truth of reality, it becomes more and more difficult to understand the more one becomes associated with modern society and modern education, modern everything. It becomes more and more difficult because modern society is dedicated to the wrong philosophy, to the materialistic concept of life, that we are this body, and the only hope for happiness is somehow or another increase our ability to exploit and enjoy material nature, especially the tongue, the genitals, and utilizing the mind to figure out new ways to enjoy the tongue and the genitals. Therefore, modern society is certainly not in a very good position. Materna Krishne Paratoksatova, or Krishna, the main. Materna Krishna Paratomatoma Mito Vimpadyeta Griha Vratana Adanta Govir Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvata Charvanana. Because they've forgotten that the real solution is to become aware of transcendence. When we become aware of transcendence, then we can become aware of ourselves. And when we get lost in the changing world, phenomenal world, then we lose ourselves in illusion. But people are not interested in Krishna. They're not interested in becoming something other than their imagination, what their imagination is telling them that they are. They don't want to find out that they're actually subordinate to Krishna. Therefore, they wind up in a very limited conception of life based upon some body. And following the unbridled senses, they wind up simply chewing the chew, doing the same thing life after life. Krishna, Tevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, because no one's telling them that. Just like as we were hearing from Lochananda Prabhu and others, that how easy it was, not how easy, but how many people used to join the Hare Krishna movement. And it wasn't that they were great intellectuals who joined. That required a lot of philosophy or great endeavor. Or it wasn't necessarily the time, it may have been the time, but it wasn't necessarily the time. It was just that devotees were convinced that you should join. And because they were more convinced that they should join than the propaganda on the bulletin boards to smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol and do all these other things, the devotees were more convinced than these posters were. Therefore, the people thought, yes, maybe I should try it out and do it. These people seem real convinced. Krishna, therefore, they take something completely insignificant as important. And what is the result? Andayatandir vigyamanas te pishatantra urudami vada. They're blind. The leaders are blind. They don't know that by their such leadership, they're going to the darkest regions of existence. And those who are following them are also going to similarly dark regions of existence. Because they're blind, they don't know where to go. But because everyone is blind, and certain people have the audacity to claim that they have vision, that they know exactly where to go. Therefore, they're misleading, and they're leading other people into the ditch of material existence. Naishamutis tavada rukramangrin, sprishat yinarto pagavam yinarta, mahiyasam sarur Parovrijevisekam niskinchinanam navrinityadva. So Prahlad Maharaj advises that we should hear from persons who have some knowledge, some vision. Therefore we're hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, and according to our understanding we're trying to repeat it. But it's real. So we should become a little concerned. That's the whole idea. We should become concerned. What am I doing here? Floating around in this existence. I may think, oh, I have a very nice existence now. But that's just illusions. We should understand that Maya has just intoxicated us, and therefore we're being misled by the illusory energy. This existence is not nice. Often the sannyasis or others stand up there on their, or sit here, and they say, this material existence is not nice. And people think, well, they're so pessimistic. And then they say something positive about the spiritual world and how Krishna's playing there with the cowherd boys, and they think, well, not only they're not positive, but they're just in their own illusion. You say something negative about the material world, they think you're pessimistic. And they, if you say something nice about the spiritual world, they think you're bewildered, you're just illusion. You're just like a little kid attached to some myth, some fantasy, some fairy tale. You can't accept the material world for what it is, therefore you're glorifying some fairy tale in the spiritual world. But the real fact is that this material world is a miserable place. And it's not that simply because Krishna says it's miserable, therefore it's become miserable. Even Krishna said it was nice, it'd still be miserable. But Krishna is not so unrealistic. He says it's janma mriti jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nudarshana. There is old age and death. We find the Lamrita one time. Prabhupada was talking to one hippie, and Prabhupada was saying that, you know, in the class you have to die. So this hippie said, well, if I don't want to die, I won't have to die. I said, you'll have to die, because you don't want to die. He said, I don't believe in death. And he said, I'm happy. I don't believe in unhappiness. So Prabhupada made a little remark during the class. He said, well, maybe you're not human. Because a human being with normal intelligence can see that we have to die, and no one really wants to die. No one really would like to come back as a dog. No one would really like to have to come back in the lower species of life. If you go to a zoo and you see the animals like the snakes sitting there completely overwhelmed by ignorance, is that what you want to do for a few million years? Simply sit there like a snake on a rock doing nothing, thinking about nothing? Thinking about when will the next fly come by so my life can become successful. So this is not some fanatical person sitting here saying these things. This is reality. And most people have no idea that this is reality, although it is reality. And therefore they're being misled by blind people. And they themselves are blind, and they're very hardly trying to go to hell as quickly as possible. They're very hardly making their existence such that they're guaranteed to get a lower species of life. Therefore, Prabhupada was very much concerned that the devotees understand this and then react properly. Not that we've heard this, and therefore our reaction is, let's hide somewhere. There is no place to hide in the material world. As a result of this understanding, the natural reaction should be that we should try to help people understand this before it's too late for them. before they leave their bodies. They should try to understand who they are, who they really are, and what the goal of their life is, so that they don't lose the human form of life where they have an opportunity to become liberated. The Prabhupada was very much concerned with that. Therefore, he was trying to make extensive propaganda so that people hear this basic philosophy and understand it. They can understand that they're spiritual beings, and that the goal of life is the supreme spiritual being, and the more they understand the supreme spiritual being, everything is revealed. Everything becomes perfect and happy in their life. And the more they become absorbed in the material concept of life, being misdirected by modern propaganda in the form of education, in the form of magazines and television, videos and internet, the more they become misled by this, the more they lose the opportunity to understand what the real goal of life is and how to achieve it. The more and more it becomes difficult for them to get out of their present circumstances and situation. So here, we're hearing the same thing again. Yatapakashi yekam krishnam loki mamamriva ivi shetram shetvitata krishnam prakashi divarada. Just like the sun alone is illuminating the whole universe with sunlight, so the soul, situated within the body, is illuminating the entire body with consciousness. What we see is the soul, what we see is the body, and we understand that there must be a soul within the body because the body is moving. Now, because the soul has become attached to the wrong desires, as Prabhupada writes, that desire is a subtle form of conditioning. We may think that these desires passing through my mind are my desires, but that's not true. They're not our desires. They're the desires that the material nature is awarding to us according to our past desires and activities. They're our conditioned desires. And when we identify with them, then we become conditioned by them. And similarly, when the desires come to our mind to serve Krishna, we should not think that these are now my desires, but actually they're desires awarded to us through the higher authorities, and therefore we should appreciate that these are the merciful desires that can free me if I simply dovetail my desires with them. But I'm completely dependent upon the desires of the higher authorities for my well-being and progress in life. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that it's not simply by study of books that one can make progress. One also has to accept the practical service of the devotees. Of course, if we can read the books in such a way as we already understood everything, then we can read the books in such a way as to enter into the spiritual world. We could accept them fully. But in any case, one who has accepted the books fully will also follow their directions, and part of the directions is to become the servant of the servant of the devotees, who are in the disciplic succession from Krishna. And by serving their desires, they will understand that these desires are actually connected with Krishna. That these are actually Krishna's desires, and by such service to those desires, then we become intimately linked up with Krishna. In such a way is that we have faith in those desires, faith in those directions, and follow them with full faith, then Krishna says, Jita ye priyaso, jita jito yaisasi taisulokyam. And Krishna himself feels obligated to reveal himself fully to the devotee and become the servant of his servants. And if Krishna feels that way, then one has no more problems. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always looking after one's own interests, then there's no more problem. But when the material nature is looking after our interests, supplying us with all kinds of material conceptions, all kinds of material objectives, all kinds of material facilities, then we have a real problem. That's called material existence. And material nature will bring us through the 8 million, drag us through the 8,400,000 species of life, where we'll have to suffer in varieties of ways, thinking that this is happiness. But Krishna, knowing that there's no happiness in the material world, if one takes shelter of his instructions, then everything will be auspicious. Although, the only problem is that we have to agree to give up our inauspicious desires. And if we don't do that, then Krishna will rip them away from us. And even if we fight to get them back, then he'll rip them away repeatedly from us until we'll realize that better surrender. So Krishna is very kind. Somehow or another, we're very fortunate. Those who have enough experience in Krishna consciousness, who develop some conviction, they're practically their path back to Godhead is assured, although sometimes they may make some mistakes on the path or become attracted again temporarily. But getting beaten by Maya will never feel the same as getting embraced by Krishna. So once someone has gotten a little embraced by Krishna, then we think, well, I'm tired of being embraced by Krishna. Let me get a little smack by Maya. Maya says, no problem, smack. You want another one? Wait a second. I think I'll go back to Krishna. You sure not? You don't want another one? All right, give me one more smack. Whack! Wow, that hurt. It'll be a while before I ask for a smack again. So eventually we'll have to. But there's so many people out there just waiting for the next smack. So it's our duty, somehow or another, to inform them that there's a better way of enjoying life than getting smacked by Maya. And even if they don't accept, still we've done our duty. But that much we should do. Somehow or another, realize that that is our duty. That's what Prabhupada emphasized. He didn't emphasize one particular service, but he emphasized that all the different services should be in such a way that people become convinced, somehow or another, that Krishna is God and that they're not God. That they're actually spiritual souls, and that this present trend of material existence to become more and more interested in sense gratification is a suicide proposition. The soul cannot be killed, but its consciousness can practically be killed. Okay, I'm sure you've heard this before. But hopefully Krishna will give us eventually the intelligence how to apply it in such a way is that we realize that we're actually doing something very significant to again spread Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another, when Prabhupada was here, everyone was out spreading Krishna consciousness. And then somehow or another, because of some mistakes of Prabhupada's followers, we concluded that we shouldn't spread Krishna consciousness so strenuously. We should sit back and examine ourselves all day long. Look at in America they say, look at your belly button and try and figure it all out. So somehow or another we've gotten into that mood. And everyone's wondering when we're going to start waking up again and getting into another mood. Which is a little bit more realistic. But fortunately here in Radhadesh, it's not because so many people come here. It's a very fortunate situation. There's so many opportunities to preach here. So sometimes here we don't notice that there's, you know, we actually have, besides the present preaching, we have to extend ourselves even a little bit more besides the tour program, or even within the tour program, just develop some anxiety that something's going wrong here. That anxiety will be very healthy because there is something going wrong, that we're not back in the spiritual world yet. We're not at least back in spiritual consciousness, therefore we should feel a little anxiety about it. These acharyas, they were in anxiety. And we think, well, these poor acharyas, so much anxiety. They haven't realized Krishna yet. Why are they in so much anxiety? Now, they're singing these prayers, Pranarthana, and Lila Saimayi, and Daya Yadika. Prayers of great longing, desire and perfections, of humility. Kavi habibala se dinamo. Aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi. Kripa bole habe ridaye sancha. Kavi habibala se dinamo. When will that day be mine? My offenses ceasing. pace of the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine, when away will that day be mine. So shouldn't we be thinking like that too? When will that day come when I'll be able to get these perfections? And how does Bhaktivinoda Thakur pray? He says, when will Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a humble mind, with a humble state of consciousness, go out and preach the word divine? So that's his solution to this, to all these longings he has. When will he be able to be on the bank of the Ganges, running, chanting the name like a madman, Gaur-Nitai? So isn't that why we join the Hare Krishna movement? Become madmen, chanting the names of Krishna like madmen? Become, you know, bona fide spiritual madmen instead of material madmen? Isn't that what we're longing for? We have to be mad, so why not be spiritually mad? And all the acharyas, they all say the same thing. Follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis and Lodhinityananda. Follow them, they all came here to preach. So somehow or another, we should feel like we're making more and more of an effort to preach and not be satisfied. See Prabhupada's example. He never sat down and retired. You know, I've done so much, Prabhupada said. Now I've done a little bit. A little bit. Now you must do much more than me. Big vision, not little vision. Now the whole world has been saved, at least the most important person in the world has been saved, and everything's all right. Well, Krishna doesn't seem to think everything's all right, nor is Gaur-Nitai, so we shouldn't think also. So thank you very much. Any questions? The material nature is moving the body. Yeah. Through Krishna's will. Material energy known as Prakriti, Maya, Parvati, she's moving the material nature. Yeah. She's a person. She's moving the material nature. Under Krishna's directions, according to the desire of the soul. So the soul is not present in the body, and the body doesn't move, because Krishna has nothing. There's no one desiring, so Krishna is not telling the material nature to do anything. What is the spiritual position of the demigods? Well, if you're a demigod, you must have some spiritual inclination, but they've gotten that position because of some pious activities, following Krishna's directions. But they got their desire was to become a demigod. So as a demigod, they could have many material desires. They're conditioned by material desires, but they got the position because of spiritual desires. So they have some desire to serve Krishna. They're known as kama misra bhaktis. They're mixed desires. They want to serve Krishna to keep their material enjoyment. Sadhana, yeah, I'm sure they perform some sadhana. Generally, the demigods don't perform austerities. But in the heavenly planets, there are sages who perform austerities. But the demigods, they don't perform. They do their duty and they enjoy it. Try and get through their duties as quickly as possible and just go out and play with the family. That's their main business, just to go out and have a good time. In Krishna consciousness. Generally their activities are in Krishna consciousness, but fun time. Krishna consciousness. Just like we see when all the great sages, all the demigods were gathered, and Narada Muni, in the form of a demigod, started to sing cinema songs with the girls. The demigods became angry that you're not enjoying the right way. You have to get out of here. So they have some you know, method. They enjoy kirtan, they enjoy things that are spiritual. But, you know, their senses are such that they're not completely purified. They're almost purified. So they enjoy the material world, they enjoy the material conception that they're a demigod, that they're the controllers of material nature. They feel good about it. Therefore, that false ego is there. Therefore, it's not completely spiritual. But their activities are generally, you know, quite respected. It's not like, you know, they go out and get drunk on Sunday after, you know, whole day, you know, whole week moving the universe around, you know, regulating everything, putting the clouds in their place. They go out and get drunk on Sunday. No, it's not. They're very respectable, their activities. But the problem is their false ego, to think that they're demigods, rather than servants of Krishna, simply tiny servants of Krishna. Yes? More than ecstatic here? No, I think that's probably good enough. Ecstatic. What more do you want than an ecstatic here? Oh, you mean for spreading Krishna consciousness? Well, we should never think, well, you know. Well, first of all, we shouldn't be too much anxiety sitting there, you know, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. No, we should just do what we're supposed to be doing in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we should wonder. I mean, Prabhupada did want to save the world, or as many people as possible. So we should pray to Krishna that somehow or another things would get arranged so these things happen. That our society becomes more dynamic. But not that, you know, I'm doing my duty, but I can't do my duty anymore because I'm too much in anxiety to do it, thinking that it's all wasted time. No, everything that we're doing here is actually to spread Krishna consciousness. The whole practice of deity worship, when people see the deity, so many people come here, the deity is very beautiful, then people become attracted to Krishna. That's spreading Krishna consciousness. If we chant Hare Krishna, that's spreading Krishna consciousness. The Torah program, everything here is to spread Krishna consciousness. But if we're not really in that mood that that's what we're here for, is to spread Krishna consciousness, then everything here will become slack. Our desire to do these activities will become familiar with them. And we'll gradually give them up. People will lose interest in them. But if we're, the facilities that Krishna especially provided here are very nice. But at the same time, some desire should be to go out there and invite people to come here also. In any temple the Prabhupada established, devotees would go out and invite people to come to the temple. That's why people would come. And many of the people who would come would join the temple. So the Torah program, although it's all ideal, we don't find so many people coming to join the temple after the Torah program. But that's one of our objectives that's missing. So the Torah program is very nice. It's certainly giving people a real dose of Krishna consciousness, and it's a real preaching opportunity for us. But there's something more. We have to create devotees. Then everything increases more and more. So some devotees have to go out and bring people, invite them to the temple here. In a way, and then preach to them in such a way that some people actually join our society and follow Sadhana, etc. That there's progress in their lives. What am I getting comfortable? We could get it comfortably in Maya, that's the problem. The Prabhupada said we're not in the nectar of devotion at the end of it, in his introduction, or at the preface. He said we're not decrying material comforts. People can live very comfortably, but they should just simply add Krishna to their lives, that's all. They should understand that loving Krishna will satisfy their loving propensity. And that's what they're missing, is that loving propensity is not being satisfied. Everything else, we're not going to take food, you know, little kid is about to get his bottle, rip it out of his hand, you know, you're too comfortable. No, we want, people should be comfortable. We don't want to take the lollipop out of everyone's mouth. No, but we want them to understand that, yes, well, you're hugging that lollipop or embracing it because your loving propensity, you're trying to satisfy your loving propensity. But the lollipop won't satisfy your loving propensity. It's only when you can actually embrace Krishna that your loving propensity will actually be satisfied. So add that to your life, you know, offer the lollipop to Krishna before you eat it. Well, the demigods, we don't decry the demigods. They're just satisfied with their false ego. If we think, you know, we may be following the standard of the demigods, we should be at least. But we shouldn't be satisfied with our false ego. We're trying to become the servants of the servants. We're not trying to become demigods. Yeah, sure. Much better position than the demigods. But otherwise, they have to remain here for a long, long time. We can go back to Godhead in a very short time. Oh, we're much more, in that sense, we're much more fortunate than the demigods are. Yeah, Maya's expert. Of course, we can spend the whole day glorifying Maya, but even on Maya's appearance day, we don't usually glorify her. Because generally, we spend our time glorifying Krishna. But Krishna says, yoga chalati manasa, that as soon as one tries to make progress in spiritual life, the Maya will try and defeat one by so many different types of allurements. So we know Maya is very expert. So we should keep that in mind, you know, how expert Maya is, so that we don't become complacent and deviated by her. But we shouldn't spend too much time glorifying Maya. Spend most of our time glorifying Krishna, and then we'll be able to understand Maya. Maya, her only business is to help us forget Krishna. So after glorifying Maya, if we forget Krishna, she's done her business, encouraging us to glorify her. But we should glorify Krishna. And here, although one time one devotee asked Prabhupada, it appears that, you know, in the temples, some of your devotees are in Maya. And then Prabhupada said, no, that's not. First he said, yes, that may be true. Somehow. Then he said, no, actually it's not true. None of the devotees in the temple are in Maya. They're on Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how could they be in the temple? If they're in Maya, they wouldn't stay in the temple. So this is a place of Krishna consciousness. Although we shouldn't think, no devotee thinks, now I'm free from Maya. I remember one time Prabhupada came to Boston, and after he came there, he visited the temple, then he went back to take rest, and when he went on the front of the bed with his hands folded and just ran on the back and rolled over, and he told his servant, he said, every night before I take rest, I pray to Krishna to please protect me from Maya. So we should always think like that. We're in Maya's kingdom. We should always pray to Krishna to protect us from Maya. Maya is everywhere here.